I have a fire in my belly. I haven't had this kind of fire in a long time. The Lord put this fire in my belly this morning with this word. It's right where we're at right now. It's amazing. Go to Isaiah 41. This is a Gideon anointing on this house. Gideon had too many. Sometimes we think we have to have more to get the job done. But sometimes more gets in the way. And God gets it where he wants it. Praise God. This house is called to move great mountains in the earth. If you guys really knew what God is really doing right now with the word that's in this house, he's going to move some serious, serious mountains. He's trained us for this. The day is at hand for it. I'm talking about mountains that will affect this whole nation. It's going to affect not just the church. We need to stop thinking in local church. Just because we're in local church, we need to see the parameters and dynamics of this word that we carry. It's going to affect very serious things. Father, help me today. Release this with the fire that's up in my belly. Hallelujah. Lord, go forth as we sense your word to stir the heart of this congregation today. This people you call to carry this precious crown. This people you called to walk with this ark. This people you called, you brought us into the promised land. Now it's time for the giants to fall. Now it's time for the walls of Jericho to fall. Time to make a statement with this word in the earth. In your glorious name, amen. So in Isaiah 51, verse 8, it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away." Say, "I am chosen." You have to start believing what God has said about you. The number one thing about faith, it doesn't matter. You could confess for a lifetime. You have to agree with what God has said about you. Not how you feel about you, but what God says about you. God has said so many things in this word about you. And he wants you to believe it. He expects you to believe it. There's only a time where false humility will move God. And then God will expect you to start believing who you are in Christ. Not who you are in yourself. The two-edged sword separates who we are and who God is in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we go through, we should be going through that separation every day. But once that separation's made, we have to agree and believe what he has said. And he's speaking very specifically. He's going to say this three times here in Isaiah. And he's going to say the exact same thing three times before he gives the solution. And this is going to be a word today that's going to open our eyes a little bit about how God helps us. How many of you need God's help right now? Raise your hand. Look over the congregation. Every single person. Every person in here. How many of you need God's help? Raise your hand. Everybody needs God's help. He designs it that way. But how he helps you is how we need to know how he's going to help you. First, he's going to say, "I'm going to help you." And that's good news. He's going to give you some good news here. So he's going to say it three times. So we get it. Whenever if something's repeated three times in the same chapter, it's God trying to say something. Hallelujah. So verse 10 says, "Fear thou not," because he's going to say this, "fear not," three times. They obviously were going through something. They were surrounded by mountains, because he talks about mountains later. They were surrounded by resistance. And the first thing he say, "Fear not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God." Good news, right? He says, "I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee, I'll uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness." So notice, that's a pretty big verse right there, right? Let's read that again. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am the Lord. I'll strengthen thee. I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee. So he said, I'm with you. He says, I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. And I'll uphold thee. So if God comes to you and says that, what is your first reaction on how he's actually going to do that? Are we just going to wait for him to do it, or do we have a part in the process? Verse 12, he's going to say, he's going to reiterate. He says, they that contend with thee, the war against thee, will be as nothing. It's not. Let's not look at that like people right now. Let's look at that as your warfare. How many of you have been at this more than 20 years? How many of you know that warfare doesn't go away? Your enemy is the most determined foe ever, but God is way more determined. Amen? And God says, there'll be as nothing. He says, your enemy will be as nothing by the time we're done with this. I'm going to reduce him to nothing. So he's going to go back to this thought, verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee. Now he says it again, fear not. Say, fear not. I will help thee. Second time he says the exact same thing, fear not, I will help thee. Come on, Lord, help me. Then he's going to say it again. This time he's going to describe the state. And sometimes we find ourselves in this state. Fear not, thou worm. I said, why didn't you call him a worm? He said, because they were so reduced in their own sight. Because the enemy had beat them down to such a degree. God was coming to them and say, listen, fear not, thou worm. I'm not calling you a worm. You men of Israel, I will help thee. I'm your redeemer. So three times he says, fear not, I'll help thee. So many of the words God gives us are like this. He'll come in and give us a solution. He'll give us hope. He'll give us the word. He'll give us a promise. But then, and so what we do when we get a word like this, God's coming to help me. But how is he coming? Are you paying attention? Because he's going to say it right here. This dynamic shift must take place in every single believer in this house. And if it does not take place, and you're not willing to let this next dynamic shift happen, then you're going to be a product or a recipient of the enemy's warfare instead of a warrior that overcomes. There are many, many people that get beat down in the earth that know God, love God, worship God. Very few rise above the warfare and become champions in this life. We are called to rise above. And we are called to do it God's way. In this chapter, he's going to tell you how he's going to do this. He said, I'm going to help you. Chapter 41. We start all over. And then I'll start with Isaiah. So back to Isaiah 41. God just wanted to know if y'all knew his word well enough. He was testing you. Okay, so in review, Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41:10, you're probably looking at 51:10 like, what is he talking? What Bible is that boy reading out of? Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, I'm by God, I'll strengthen thee, I'll help thee. Who was actually reading in 41 with me when I was preaching that? And then again in verse 13, it was probably by God's design so you wouldn't go read the answer. Verse 13, for the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, he's going to hold your right hand. He's going to come hold you by the hand, little son, daughter. Fear not, I will help thee.
And then again, he says in verse 14, fear not thou worm.
If God's calling you a worm, it means you've been beaten down. He's describing your state of being in the midst of your adversaries and not getting with his program. If you get with God's program, you're not going to get beaten down like that. It's not that the waves are not going to beat on your house. You will not get beat down. You will rise above. We are called to walk above the circumstances of life. We are called to overcome. That's why they come. If you have circumstances coming, the same ones all the time, it's because God is saying, I want you to overcome. So God sends you the words, it's fear not. You've been inflicted in body, fear not, I'll help you. You've been afflicted in finances, fear not, I'll help you. Afflicted with depression, fear not, I will help you. Afflicted with emotional turmoil, fear not, I will help you. So we're waiting on God to help. And he's waiting on us. And thankfully, he gives us the answer of how he's going to help us. Are you ready? See, we get the idea that when God's going to come help us, we don't have to do anything. Let's just wait and God's going to come in. How many of this that actually happens where God just comes in and fixes everything? Without you having a part to play. If he does that for you, you should rejoice because you're not going to get that all the time. You have to work with him. When God's going to help you, he's going to do something for you that's going to cause you to rise above the circumstance. And he says it right here, hallelujah. Man, this hit me today. The last three or four times we're praying, this atmosphere comes over to, these atmospheric thieves come over to resist me. But I already know. If I get my motor running, if I get my mouth running, if I just start speaking long enough, all that atmosphere is God's, I mean, it just gets shattered and I come out victorious. I refuse to allow the enemy to rule me with atmospheric thieves. Verse 15, behold, here's how I'll help you. I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. And you shall thresh the mountains and beat them small. And make them hills at the chaff. And you shall fan them. And the wind shall carry them away. And a whirlwind that's around you shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord your God. And you will glory in God. I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth, and you will beat the mountains that have beat you small. You will beat them to the ground. You will thresh the mountains. I'm going to make you a threshing. I'm going to give you teeth to thresh the mountains. That's how I'm going to help you. That's how. Oh my God, you mean I don't get to sit back and let God? No! He's going to turn you. He's going to turn your mouth into a threshing instrument. See, a threshing instrument. You thresh the mountains. It's the very mountains that beat them to a worm. He says, I'm going to have you beat that same mountain into a worm. I'm going to reverse the dynamic of your life. Notice what he said, I'm going to make you a new, say new. That means whatever you've been doing wasn't working. Listen, if it's not working, we have to shift. If our enemies are overriding us day in and day out and beating us down into the ground, listen, you get beat down low enough, you think, oh, the enemy will stop. No. That's when he'll really go to work on you. Because once your soul starts succumbing to warfare, and once those warfare atmospheres get up inside you, and once that unbelief starts working inside you, and once the poor me gets up in there, and once all that stuff, and once that warfare gets inside you, you're in trouble. Because you don't understand, that'll attract every demonic entity out there. They get attracted to the fear. They get attracted to the unbelief. They get attracted when someone's beat down. That's why someone's beat down can hardly ever rise, because it just invites all manner of stuff. Depression will invite depression. Do you understand that? Oppression invites more oppression. Poverty attracts poverty. Sickness, pain. If you fight it all the time, if it's constantly in your life, it'll attract more. Never accept anything like that in your life. It doesn't matter if it's there. Do not accept it. Don't say, oh, God's doing that. Don't ever do that. God doesn't do that. God performed His will when He let His Son bear the infirmities of the earth to free our body. But He goes, I got to make your mouth new. Death and life and the power of the tongue. They didn't indulge in it. Eat the fruit of it. You have to indulge into life. Indulge into truth. We have to turn this mouth into a threshing instrument. We have to learn this is how God's going to help you. Next time you ask for help, I pray God brings you back to this chapter. Next time you're in a circumstance and you're beaten down like a worm, and it happens. We get into some serious stuff sometime. You got to climb out God's way. He says, I'm going to help you, but the way I'm going to help you is I'm going to make you a new, sharp, sharp threshing instrument. I'm going to change some dynamic about what you're doing to fix the problem. I'm going to teach you how to speak. Teach you how to beat mountains that are beating you. Beat them small. And once you beat them small, go back and beat them again. That's what gives God pleasure. He takes the weak things to confound the wise. You're never going to be continuously strong in the Lord if God doesn't change the dynamic of what's coming out of your mouth. You'll rise, but you'll go right back in. What's coming out of your mouth is the most important thing of any day. And you have to let God shift this. His word is, I will give you this. I will empower what you say. I will give you authority to come out of your mouth. I'll put a finished word in your mouth. And when you speak it and send that finished word, it will not return unto me void. It will thresh the mountains that have threshed you all your life. How many of you are tired of mountains threshing you? Start the new threshing instrument now. But you can call upon God when He says, if you're going to help me, God, like you promised, then set this word in my mouth and cover me in the shadow of your wings so I can plant the heavens and the earth. Make my mouth a new sharp threshing instrument. Because that's what God's promising to do. That's how God wants to move mountains in this lifetime for us. I saw in the spirit, a whirlwind come over this sanctuary. And that whirlwind, it began to go like this. And all of a sudden, people, they moved in the whirlwind, but what moved in the whirlwind was what was coming out of their mouth. And their mouth joined the whirlwind. And as the mouth began to join the whirlwind, it started turning. Whew, whew, whew. God promises the way He helps us is He gives us a word. He gives us authority. He gives us the strength. But one thing God will not do is speak for you. He's already spoken for you. You have to speak now with Him. He promises, I'll be with you. What He's with you in is what's coming out. We need to shift the dynamic. I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. It's not another word to say, oh my God, that was a good message. And you go about your business this week. We have to change the dynamic of what we're doing. Set aside time. It might be a little unusual for you because you haven't been doing it. But I promise you, if you start doing it, you're going to get really good at it. And you'll shift atmospheres. And you'll stop being controlled by the circumstances of life. And you'll walk yourself out of circumstance. When God spoke to me about, finally I was praying about the financial state, and I was going to take a loan out on my property and Lufkin, and God said, I'm not working with you with loans anymore. That's not what we're doing. So I quit that. I said, okay, we're not doing that. How are we going to do this? You got natural gas up under there. I'm like, yeah, I know, but nobody's buying. My first inclination was call all these people that 5 years ago they're wanting to buy. I called 10 of them. Every one of them said, we're not buying. We're not buying. We're not buying. We're not buying. I'm like, well, nobody's buying. That's what I said to God. He said, since when? He said, are the sons of God subject to what the world says? That's exactly what he said. He goes, stand over your property and speak to it. And I did that for over like a month. I didn't go down there literally. I just stood over it in the spirit. I spoke the blessing to come out of generational inheritance, come out from that property. I spoke that blessing. And I kept speaking, nothing. And I'd keep calling and nothing. I kept speaking. Speak! Do not grow weak. And suddenly, a letter came through. And suddenly, that buyer comes in. I told him, I said, you don't know what else is buying right now. He said, well, we are. And so I said, well, I want more. And I got 20% more than they were asking. Isn't that awesome? Because I called somebody else. The wisdom of God, I called somebody else that was buying. I said, you know, there is somebody interested in my property. And they just told me last week they weren't buying. They said, well, how much are they offering? I'm like, well, I won't tell you that, but make me an offer and I'll tell you whether you're better than them. And they did. I said, well, you're better than them. So I went back to this original buyer and said, well, I've got another person. I said, they're wanting to buy it now. And they said, well, we'll give you a little more. And I went that ping ponged twice. And then I knew that was enough. Because the other one said, this is best and final. So I went back to the guy, best and final. He gave me his best and final. And I went back to this other guy. I said, I think I'm going to take their offer. And said, never call us again. But that came out of something that shifted. And that settled a lot of stuff. That helped a lot. Everything's relative financially, honestly. But instead of us waiting on God to drop something on us, we have to engage this realm. God's already promised, I will help you. And actually, he's already done it. If you want to get really good at it, you start moving in the finished realm. But as we learn to speak, I'm really enjoying this now, this level of decree. I used to enjoy going up the mountain. Now when I'm going up, I can't wait to come back down. Because my favorite part used to be going up and encountering God. Now my favorite part is coming down with authority. And I look forward to it. And I love to stand over mountains now. I stand over my house. I stand over my kids. We started standing over Carson and Victoria. And Carson suddenly got a promotion. Now he's doing really good. He's saying I'm doing good now. It's awesome to see your kids doing good. We should be praying over our seed and our seed. You know the struggles you've been through. We should constantly be releasing oil and speaking. But we have to become a new sharp threshing. It's new. Our mouth needs to be turned a new way. Sometimes the hardest thing is to get somebody out of an old order into a new order. From trying to still get God to do something into moving into agreement with already done and speaking it into the earth. God has given us authority. God has made us a new sharp threshing instrument. He's put his word in his mouth. And he wants us to release that into our circumstance. And when you first do it, you're going to feel every atmospheric fever around you. And you're going to feel like nothing changed and it might be a little while. You have to let this become a lifestyle. But there's a day that things start obeying out there. When things start to bang out there, that's pretty joyous because we got some pretty serious mountains we're standing over right now. These little things, they're like a grain of sand compared to what God wants to move. But as long as we're moving our mouth, as long as we're in alignment with Him, as long as we're releasing what he said, we're going to win. I've seen a lot of people go after God in a very big way. And I've seen them end up in an early grave. And I've seen a lot of them at the latter part of their life broken down. Because somewhere along this journey, they stopped what got them there in the first place. And if ever, listen, there's a lot of things you can stop in this life. If I ever give you a word, listen to this word right here. There's a lot of things you can stop, but one thing you can't. You cannot afford to. It's faith. Because you never know what the enemy's going to bring. And you have to be ready for it. Loving God is not enough to secure your life and longevity. There's a lot of people who love God that had their life cut short. You have to understand how to appropriate this kingdom in your body, your mind, your heart, your soul, your finances, your family, your home. Every day, listen to me. The Spirit of the Lord was shaking me this morning, charged them. He almost said, rebuke them. I said, I'm not rebuking them. Because he goes, they are listening and they're not doing this. There's a time we have to be shaken and begin to utilize the greatest weapon God's ever given us. A new sharp threshing instrument. Turn it away from people and turn it into the enemy. And speak and speak and do not grow weak. The righteousness of faith speaketh. Say speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend to the heavens and bring him down again? Or who shall ascend to the deep and bring him up? What that's saying. But what saith is the word is nigh thee. It's in your mouth. What does he mean by that? Say not in your heart. Oh, we need him to get him to do this all over again. What he did in the beginning was not enough. What he did on the cross was not enough. What he did in his death, burial, and resurrection was not enough. We got to get him to do it again. You have to believe what he did was enough. He that cometh to God must first believe that he is. You have to know that what he did was enough. And that word, he sends it from that realm that's finished. He sends that word out. And he puts it in your mouth. It's nigh thee. It's in your heart. First he puts it in the heart. And then it gets up in the mouth. Well, I'm prosperous. I don't need that. What about what's going on in your head? What's going on in the heart? What's going on in your emotions? What's going on in your image? What's going on inside of you? How do you feel about yourself? Everyone faces different mountains. I know some people don't go to church at all, love God, and finances just flows to them like a river. They don't seem like they have a care in the world. They'll probably never, ever, ever have a battle there in that area. But they have battles in other places. Some people say, well, that's not fair because I fight finances all the time. That's because you're called to overcome. Because God in his genius plan has a plan for you to move mountains in that area. But if you don't get it moved off your life, you're never going to get it moved off anybody else. If we don't win the battle of what's swirling around us on a continuous basis. Guess what? In 2027, the same stuff will swirl. In 2028, the same stuff will swirl. If you don't win the battle of what the enemy's bringing around you, and you're wondering why God just doesn't come and wash it away or wipe it away or remove it away, because he's trying to raise you up into an agreement with him to move it, because that is your graduation. Goliath was David's graduation. Without Goliath, David would have never become king. The present king, Saul, was already under the intimidation of the enemy. God couldn't use him anymore. God had to raise somebody to challenge the champion the enemy brought out. And he did it in an unconventional way. And God's trying to get us to stand against the enemy and what he brings around our life, what he brings around our children, what he brings around our body, what he brings around our soul. I do it every day, but here's the glorious thing. Once you get used to it, you make it a part of your life and that's it. Today, we accomplished so much in 45 minutes. It was absolutely amazing. Usually, could you not pray for an hour? We had another 15 minutes. We just talked.
It was such an anointing. It was fun. Believe it or not, it's going to get fun to stomp your enemies out. I put my enemies on the floor. If it's mammon, I tear a dollar bill and stick it on the floor. I said, never move that. And I step on it every day. So you are under my feet. I'm not under you. There are people in here. The finances all your life. Like Tina was saying. If you're looking for the dollar. If you're looking for that, you're not in alignment. If you're looking for the next meal, you're not in alignment. And for the last 10 years it's been that way. And God's saying, I promise to help you. And the world say you got to help yourself. That's not the what we're speaking of. But the way God's going to help us is come in agreement and let me set my word in your mouth and make you a new sharp. God will refine your skills. He'll sharpen the sword coming out of your mouth. He'll make it painful for the enemy to come against you. He'll make it painful for the demonic entities to come out against you. You inflict pain on them and you'll make them move. And when they move, it's going to be a glorious day for you. Because what's dogged your track? Fear may be dogging your track. Depression may be. Infirmity, it doesn't matter. God has already provided. But we have to get in agreement and move with God. And no, say no that it's finished before we begin. That's how God will help you. Because people get in a condition. You know, you can be in every single conference for the next 10 years running, and you can receive, 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 receive. I know somebody in the past, a long time ago, just go to every conference out there. But travel, come knocking on the door, the conference won't help you unless you're utilizing what you've been taught. There's one thing that's going to help you more than anything. It's a defense above everything. It's what's working inside you when the enemy confronts you. It resurrected me from a lot of stuff more than once. Faith will resurrect you. Faith will rise when everyone else has given up on you. When everybody walks out the door, God will walk into the door. But we have to have this. The greatest of these is love. I get that. But the problem is that love won't move a mountain like faith will. You need it all. We have to have faith if we're going to move it. One of the things that broke my heart about watching this movie, it was just a powerful movie we watched, The Great Awakening. You should watch it. This man confronted the Church of England. All that religious men, he confronted them. They kicked him out. And God sent him into the colonies. George Whitefield. He was getting ready and he stirred the spirit of the colonies because they were about to sign the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. And before that, he had to get them all ready. He got the spirit and he went on, and he spent 30 years going to these colonies. Stirring them up, getting them ready for their independence because that same spirit tried to come over here. But God had something planned for America and he had such an impact on Benjamin Franklin. And it was Benjamin Franklin that moved over time. Benjamin would never give his life to the Lord and he was a very good friend of his. And he stayed with Benjamin Franklin when he was there in Philadelphia. But what he didn't understand is Benjamin Franklin actually prospered because he ran the newspaper for all of George Whitefield's revivals. He goes, I've been making money on your Jesus for a long time. But something happened after his death. And he remembered everything he said. And he stirred Benjamin Franklin because there was such a division among the colonies before this constitution. And England was sending their ship. They were ready. They were ready to take back this land that God was creating. And Benjamin Franklin moved that whole assembly to prayer. And he's the one that constituted prayer back in
to the government. And they started praying again. And they came together and then they signed the Declaration of Independence. It's amazing how one person's alive. But what broke me was how early he died. He died at 55. And this is Benjamin Franklin. They were, if God's so with you, why is your body all broken down? Because he gave his life. He would preach sick. He'd get on a horse and ride it sick. And he drove his body into death, preaching the gospel. Incredible man of God. But that's what happens. John G. Lake. Incredible businessman, made $20 million in 1920. Say 1920. You know what $20 million would be worth now? That's billions. He walked away from it all for the call. And back then they believed you couldn't do both. He went to Africa, birthed 1,400 churches. Say 1,400. But then poverty started in. His wife died of malnutrition. Nutrition. He had ministries die because they didn't have any food. A man worth that much money, he walked away from an operation. He did the Spokane healing rooms. Listen, when you're going to be on front lines with God like that, you'll always be a target. We'll always be a target, believe it or not, because we carry a word. Whether you know it or not, this church, we carry a dynamic, very powerful end time word. It makes everyone in this place a target, whether you like that or not. Because of what's up inside this house. And I know enough to know the enemy's never going to leave us alone. And I'm not perfect, but one thing I will do, and I tell Anna this almost every day, it wears her out. I said, I will never let this word out of my mouth. I'll never stop speaking it. I'll never let that go. I'll never turn this house into a machine. I will not let this word out of my mouth till the day it releases and accomplishes what God called it to accomplish, which is a mystery to this house. But it's big and it's large and it's awesome. God makes us new. He wants you to make your mouth new. Listen, get a new vision of yourself. Wake up. If you can't sit there and pray, if your body wants to go to sleep, then stand up. Sometimes people start, and heaviness will come over, and all of a sudden they want to go to sleep, and you think, oh, I'm just tired. No, that's an atmospheric thief. I have a teaching on it. Cody knows where it's at. I don't know where it's at. It's somewhere on the website. He makes you a new, but an atmospheric thief will come and try to steal that before you ever start. How many of you ever, let me close with this. How many of you ever gotten the workout and you got into the groove? What, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about? Like you're in the groove. Are you, you're tennis or whatever you do. What's that thing you do? Pickleball. You're into something with a groove. When you first started, were you the best pickleball player of the church? No. But now he is. He wants me to come play him. I'm not coming to play him. I already know what he'll do. I would be the last person to go play Pastor Chuck because he would have somebody filming the whole thing. I already know what he'd do. No! I have to hone my skill. But after a while, what you're doing becomes second nature. You struggle. Golf is the biggest struggling game forever. But after you get a little handle on it, still struggle. But anyway. You get, like if you work out, you'll get, like Anna, man, she's just a machine. She just goes, works out all the time. You'll get into a groove. The word of God will come continuously out of your mouth. What did he do with the children of Israel when he turned them around? He said they could not enter in because of unbelief, for they did not mix the faith. Are we any different? Is our generation any different? Are we going to have two voices crying in the wilderness? Or are we going to have a church together speaking, moving in a dynamic? Father, set your word in our mouth this day. Release that mantle to become the new. I speak it over this house. This house is a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth to thrash the mountains. I decree every member of this house thrashes mountains. It beats them small. I decree the rising of faith in this house. I decree the blessing coming out of our mouth. I decree this day, skilled instruments of warfare, rising out of this house, new sharp threshing instruments, threshing the mountains that have beat them small in life, threshing the mountains and rising above to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. To ride with you, O God, in the high places, and to remain in that place. This is the security, saith the Lord. As long as my word is in your mouth continuously, your enemy will never have advantage over thee. You will rise from every ash. You will rise out of every battle. I'll make your weaknesses to become strengths in your life. And I'll make you to ride in the high place with me. I'll give you the inheritance, the sons of God, the heirs of authority in the earth. When you walk into an atmosphere that you don't like, you will change it. You'll shift it. And I'll make the earth obey you in the end. As it obeyed me, saith the Lord. I'll make winds and seas in these last days obey the manifested sons. I will make mammon to bow down over a whole nation. I will make sickness and disease run from you. Will turn your body to health into the day of youth. I will make your mind as the mind of Christ. And the continuous waters of joy, peace, and life will flow out from you in freedom and liberty. And you'll know the freedom and liberty you stand in is the word that comes out of your mouth. It will become the primary operation of your life. My word in your mouth, and I'll make you the instrument of warfare I designed you to be. And together we'll thresh mountains that I want to move. I have mountains I must move, saith the Lord. I'm looking for the Davids. I'm looking for the Calebs. I'm scanning the earth looking for the Joshuas. I'm looking for the faith that will remove the giants from the land. I'm looking for the kind of faith that will stand and know that the enemy's defense is parted from them. And I'll put you in front of things larger than you, 100 times larger, 1,000 times larger. I'll set you in front of giants, and you'll watch the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. You'll watch the mountains fall. This is the heritage. I will raise up the Calebs. I will now raise the Joshua. I will raise those that will speak the Davids, will speak before me. For it's not this mountain, you see. That's the stepping stone. That's the graduation for much greater things. A life of faith to watch the enemy obey you. To watch him ground the powder. For you to stand with me in the day and know this is the liberty of the sons of God in the earth. Amen.